just to talk to the Tzibur, just to speak a little bit about one of the many inyonim in this week's Sefer Parshas Tahaloitzecho, touching on one aspect of the Mon. The Torah mentions the Mon in a number of places, as we know. The Torah speaks about the Milas of the Mon in Parshas Peshalach and in Parshas Akev. In Parshas Tahaloitzecho, the Torah tells about the Tainas that people had on the Mon. And the Torah tells us then, of course, there were false timers, and the Torah speaks about the wonder and the beauty of the Mon. Just to begin by mentioning something which the Malbim says about the Mon, but in fact it's a very esoteristic thing, it's a fundamental principle. The Malbim tells us, we see here that the Hasachsup Hashem Kirboi, the Eir of Rav, had timers on the Mon, and they drew in others as Bnei Yisrael with them, not satisfied with the Mon, Miyachilein Boso, we're missing meat, good solid food. So the Malbim says that the Mon actually contained two elements to it. The Mon, on the one hand, was made in the guf. It nourished the body, it provided nutrition for the body. And this it did for everybody in equal measure. As we're told, everybody received an equal portion, an equal amount of Mon. Bahamon asirs, bahoyma asirs, for epa, that's what they got an oimer of Mon every day, each person got that. And every person's body was nourished by that Mon. However, says the Malbim, the Mon came min HaShamayim. So the Mon coming from Shamayim must have had a Chelik HaRuchni to it as well. He said this Chelik HaRuchni was something which was divided in different ways amongst different people. He says we find by the Malachim, Sfarim tell us, Malachim eat Lecha. We find this in Pesukim. In Pesukim, Malachim eat Lechem. What do we mean by Lechem? So says the Malbim, just as the body is nourished by Lechem, is nourished by food, so a person, or in this case a Malach, and the Pesukim speak about Malachim eating Lechem, so a Malach is, so to speak, nourished. His Hasogus, says the Malbim, his, so to speak, his understanding, his intellect, if we can call it that, grows and he comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similarly with human beings, the intellect can grow, the Hasogah Sichlis, the Malbu refers to it as Hasogah Sichlis and Shefa Nevuis, that the Nevuah or Ruach HaKodesh, which a person can be Zoicha to. This is also a type of Lechem, where the Neshama is nourished, because as the person's understanding grows, as he comes closer to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, so his Neshama is nourished, and he becomes a greater person. So this, where a person's intellect is strengthened and nourished, this too is referred to as Lechem. So he says, the Malachim eat Lechem, this means that they grow in their closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we can put it in that terms, in those terms, and similarly, human beings have the possibility to bring upon themselves this Shefa and Ruach, this Ruach of Kedusha, which brings them a greater understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and brings them closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, says the Malbim, was the second chelik of the Mon. The Mon came min HaShomayim, Lechem min HaShomayim, so it contained a chelik HaRuchni within it. And this chelik HaRuchni nourished the Neshama, so to speak, of Klal Yisrael, and even were able to grow and become higher and higher. Says the Malbim, there were ordinary people there, the Erev Rav, and ordinary Yidden. Don't know what it means in those times to call somebody an ordinary Yid, they saw the Yad Hashem openly. But he says there's Hamoin Yisrael, the regular people there, they got nothing more than the nutritional value from the Mon, nothing more than that. Maybe they had time as the Mon was nothing more than just plain food. They wanted other food, they wanted better food. Says the Malbim, those people, they cooked the Mon, they were Bishlu Baporo, etc., etc. As the Pasuk said, the Mon was cooked and the Mon was prepared. Those are the people who prepared it. The Mon could taste whatever you wanted it to taste. It was fully prepared and ready to be eaten, but that depended on the madrega of the person. There were those regular, ordinary people, if we can call them that, in the day of. They had to cook their Mon, they had to prepare it, everything had to be done for that Mon. It was regular food, and they had nothing more than the bodily, physical nourishment out of the Mon. However, there were those people, greater people, on various levels, higher and higher up the scale, and they received the side from the Oimer Asiris or Eifah, from the physical nourishment of that piece of Mon. They also received a growth in Ruchnius, where their Hasogus, where their understanding about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ruchnius grew and grew as they nourished themselves with the Mon. He says this was something which differed for every single person. They're all on different madrigals. Chazal tell us לחם אבירים או חליש, זה יהושע שיורד לו אמון כנגד כל ישראל. This pasuk lechem abirim ochal ish is a reference to Yoshua sheyorad loimon kineged kol Yisrael. He had a, apparently pshat. He got in as much mon as all of Klal Yisrael put together. Says the Malbim, what does this mean? Everybody had the same amount of mon. Says the Malbim, when we say everybody had the same amount of mon, that means in the physical amount that reached each person. When we say that Yoshua was yorad loimon kineged kol Yisrael, what we mean is Yoshua was so well prepared, his Maglas Chaleshama was so great, he was on such a Madrega, that he was able to take from the Mon as much Ruchnias as all of the rest of Klal Yisrael put together. This is very Yoshua, Shayorad Loimon Kineged Klal Yisrael. Very beautiful Pshat in this Chazal. Says the Malbim, we're told, Chazal tell us, the Mon fell by the Tzadikim at their homes. The Mon fell for the Rishoyim. Chazal tell us, they had to walk and find the Mon, fell further afield. They couldn't find it right outside their homes. They had to go further afield for the mon. Says the Malbim, what do we mean by this? So he says so beautifully, those people who are termed Rishoyim, they had just the physical mon and nothing more. So the mon could have appeared anywhere. Had to go and look for it. But the tzaddik, the main thing, the ikkah that he got from the mon, was this shefa nevui. This koyach of nevuah, this coming closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a hashpah which comes down on an individual. So the main, his mon, as one would call it that, mitzad the chelik horuchni, fell right where he was, because he was inspired, he was uplifted. Says the Malbim, Tophel is a secondary aspect to this ruchnius of the mon, came the gashmius also. So the Mela, the tzaddik's mon, fell in its place, right where he was in his home, because the physical mon was drawn after the chelik horuchni of the mon, which obviously came to the person directly as a shefa aliki, as an influence from Shemayim. So this is the mon. The Malbim said, and we return to this in Yitz Hashem, that the same applies to Torah. The Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. The Malachim wanted the Torah. The Malachim time is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give it to us. My Lilodish Beinenu, what's Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? The Torah doesn't belong to human beings with the Yetzer Hara and so on. Says the Malbim, the Torah comes min HaShemayim, it's a ruchniyistik thing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, directs the Torah in a physical, with physical mitzvahs, things that human beings have to do. This is the chelek hagashmi of the Torah. So like the mon has two chalokim, similarly Torah has two chalokim. There's the inner core of the Torah, which is pure ruchniyus. And there's the outer shell of the Torah, which is the ma'aseh ha-mitzvot, and the more pshat type understandings that we have of what is really at the depths of the Torah. And the Malbim says, again, there are different levels in Klal Yisrael. There are human beings who will, at the musa really, it's a frightening thought. There are human beings who will keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, and perhaps they might even be outstanding in keeping the physical aspects of the Torah, every mitzvah, the shaita, the itai, the hiddah, and so on. But this is not the core of the Torah. He says there are many ordinary people who the Torah is the outer coating, the mitzvahs that they do, but they never zoicha to get in to the heart of the Torah, to the pure ruchni of Shabbat. This is something which is reserved for those who learn Torah, those who give themselves over to Talmud Torah. So again, we see here this chelek horuchni and the chelek hagashmi, and the shutei am, those who are not involved with the pursuit of ruchnius, they get the shell just like those yidden in the midbar had the physical mon and nothing more. So similarly, the shutei am, those who are not interested in learning the Torah and understanding its depths, they'll be mekayim the mitzvahs of the Torah perhaps, but they've never actually been zeicha to get to the core of it, to the ruchnius shabbat. Whereas those who pursue the knowledge of the Torah, those who are kodeyitim la Torah, those to whom Torah, Talmud Torah is important, they're zoicha to go, so to speak, lisnai v'lisnim, to go beyond the shell of the Torah. But of course, the mitzvahs are of absolute, total importance. We have to keep them as well. But going beyond the what we might call the gashmius chelik of the Torah, they're zoicha to be nichnos lisnai v'lisnim, to the ruchnius of the Torah. And this is the schar, the reward that accrues to those people who are occupied with Talmud Torah, each one to see madregoso and to see malas nafshoi, according to the madrega that the person has brought himself to. So these are the words of the Malbim, wonderful explanation of the two chalokim of the mon. Going a little bit further, I'll mention something here which Rabbi Aaron Kotler writes about in the Sefer Mishnah of Rabbi Aaron. The Torah tells us, in reference to the mon in Parashat Akeb, says the Torah, Vayancho Vayarivecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted you, he afflicted Klal Yisrael, Vayarivecho, and he starved us. by Achil Choman Bamidbar and fed us the man in the Midbar, Leman Hadiachor, in order to teach you, Ki Noya Halechim Levado Yifti HaAdam. Man does not live on bread alone, Ki Al Kol Moed Sofi Hashem Yifti HaAdam. Man lives on the, we might call it the expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mouth. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler explains, first of all, what do we mean by this Ki Al Kol Moed Sofi Hashem Yifti HaAdam? He says, food itself does not have the ability to be made in a person. Food, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu created it, could not nourish a human being. It might even damage a person, it could be harmful. What is it that makes food nourish a person? What is it that makes us healthy from eating food? It's the tzivui Hashem in the food that it should nourish us. So we find in Sefer Bereishis, Lochem yiyel ochla, l'chol chayas hasodeh, the Torah says, all the animals of the field, l'chol priyates, zorei azora, all the trees of the fields, the plants, and the animals, lochem yiyel ochla. The Gaon says, and Rav Aaron Kotler quotes this from the Gaon says, lochem yiyel ochla, that it shall be for humanity as food. This is the tzibur Hashem, that food should nourish and be made in a person. So when we eat food, we have to be able to see beyond the fork and knife, so to speak, beyond the actual food that's there. We have to see the moitzofi Hashem, that the food that we eat is actually nourishing us because of the tzivui Hashem. And the truth is that when we actually eat our food, there are a number of miracles that occur, the amazing miracles that occur, just as the food is going into our mouths and being digested, it's on Asher Nisim and its life. And when we stop to think about that, what we're doing is we're seeing beyond the confines of the food, and we're seeing the Yad Hashem that actually gives us this food and allows us to be nourished by the food. I once heard many years ago on a tape a Meister from Reb Chaim Kaufman, Zechtzad Gevorcha, he said over a Meister about the Chayz of Lublin. So apparently there was a Chosid of the Chayz of Lublin who used to go every year to his Rebbe, to the Chayz, and he had would save up a certain amount of money over the year, and then when he had enough money, he would go and spend as long as he possibly could until the money ran out. A devout chassid, when the money ran out and he was penniless, then he would go home again and start saving up for the next trip. So once the chassid visited his Rebbe and the money ran out on Thursday, he was ready to go home. So the chayz of Lublin said, he went to take leave of his Rebbe, so the chayz said, you know, it's the Erev Shabbos, so stay, you've got no money, you'll eat on my cheshbon, at my table over Shabbos. And Sunday you'll go home, not the Shabbos, you'll go home. So the Chosid accepted the invitation eagerly, another Shabbos with his Rebbe. And it came to the meal on Friday night, a large number of people at the table, and as the food went round, course by course, from the fish to the soup to the meat, whatever was served there, somehow this Chosid missed out on every single thing. Had to buy the bread and nothing more. Somehow he missed out here. There wasn't enough fish left, the soup spilled, a mice with everything. The same happened Shabbos and Shabbos by day. And the first Suda, so the Shuddah, by the second Suda of the day, same thing. All he had for the three meals was a kazayas of bread. So after Shabbos, a little bit hungry, he went to take leave of his Rebbe, the Chayz of Lublin. He asked him, at the Chosid Wood, he asked the Rebbe, can you explain, well, what's the chat in the mice? You invited me to stay for you for Shabbos with you. So the Rebbe asked him, did you do anything different Erev Shabbos? Anything different to what you normally do? Was there any change in your Seder HaYom Erev Shabbos? So he thought, he said, I could only think one thing. Normally, I'm a minig, after davening, I always say Parshat Hamon, just Gula for Panosso. And this Erev Shabbos, I thought, I've been guaranteed my meal over Shabbos. So instead of laying in Parshat Hamon, I'll sit and learn. Mm-hmm. What could be better to sit and learn? So the Chayz of Lublin said, I think he put it like this, Chaim said, the amount of Siyata Dishmaya that a person needs just to lift the food from the plate to get it to their mouth is the gewaldic onashimism and lifloids are required just to get that far. And who's speaking about even digesting the food and after digesting it and the body, so to speak, survive from eating it, taking the goodness and the body grows, not just survives but grows. This is all nisim and lifloids. So the moitzopi Hashem, the tzibui Hashem into the food that it should nourish a person, this is what does that. And when we eat food, we're having a gift directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this food, this piece of meat, this bowl of cereal, whatever it is, has been commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of my celebration to be made in the person.
You just said that the normal food is like Hashem, but for the ordinary person, man was also the same. What was the difference then?
The Malbim says it's the same. The Malbim said they got nothing more than the Gashmis. So the Malbim says they got nothing more than the Gashmis from the month. Plain food. They had to cook it. They had to prepare it. Everything. Just plain food. Is that the Malbim? See it inside. It's a long piece. The Malbim says it there. So this is the Moitzah Pi Hashem. So a person eats food. They do the Yad Hashem. The Moitzah Pi Hashem. But Rabbi Aaron Kotler asks here a question. And this is a principle which I want to speak about. He tells us something which is really a wonderful, wonderful principle. It's a chizuk, really. It's a direction in life and a chizuk. He says, a pasuk, before telling us, before telling us that this is the lesson of the mon, says the pasuk, Vayancho Vayarivecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicted us, and he made us starve. So if Aaron Kotler asks, why did HaKadosh Baruch have to afflict us and make us starve before giving us this wonderful man? The man came with miracles, we all know it. Chazal tell us, everybody knows the way it fell, the amount of anybody left over, man for the next day turned into toloim, into worms, and so on. Millions, so to speak, of miracles with the man. Chazal tell us the man was piled high in high mountains. The Malachim kings from all other nations could see mountains of man falling every day. And the man melted and turned into streams, and the animals ate the man. And we know all the midrashim, unbelievable miracles about the man. So we could see clearly in the midbar it was came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what's the Vayancho Vayarivecho? There was so much chesed in the man. Why is the Vayancho Vayarivecho? So Rav Aaron Kotler explains as follows. He says, as we know, Yediyah, understanding something, comes in stages and it goes by degree. We can know something and then we can know it with even greater depth and greater conviction and greater conviction. As we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our knowledge of His mitzvahs, our knowledge of our duties becomes stronger and stronger, and we become more convinced and more set in our ways that nothing would deflect us from that path. There are people who are deflected from the path of Torah and mitzvahs on occasion. It happens to people. You can't say they're not ma'aminim. They believe the Torah was given on Sinai. They believe they're Yidden. They believe they have to keep the mitzvahs. But the yediyah, that strength of knowledge, is not always strong enough to keep a person entirely on the right path. As a person grows, the yediyah gets stronger, and the power of that knowledge becomes absolute fact to a person, and they cannot be deflected from the path. V'yodata hayoyim, as we say, you should know today the Hashivaitra El Lavavecha. That's the new Madrega. The Hashivaitra El Lavavecha. You can know something, but the next stage is Hashavu El Halek, where it becomes absolute fact. It becomes part and parcel of the person. It's integral to the person's very makeup, to the person's psyche and what they are. These facts are part of them. So there are degrees of Yediyah. Interestingly enough, I once saw Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz write in the Sefer that the Alter from Kelm held, he had the understanding that if you learn something, a yediyah, something in Yiddishkeit, if you pass it on to others before you've got everything out of it, before you've got the maximum chizuk from it, then for some reason you can't take full chizuk from it anymore once you've shared it with somebody else. So Rabbi Yerucham writes about the Alter from Kelm. So he says the Alter from Kelm once understood a story, something very deep in Yiddishkeit, and he kept it to himself for 30 years. And only then did he feel like he's had the maximum from this, now he can pass it on to others. So this demonstrates the levels of yediyah that a person can have. You hear a vort, you hear something which is mechazek you, it could even change your life, but one can go further, it can become more internalized, more part and parcel of what you are. With avoida, with hashavu el halev, facts that we have become stronger and more real to us. So says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, all these degrees of yediyah, what determines them? Says Rabbi Aaron, one of the main determinants, one of the main deciphers of what will stay with a person in the depths of a person's yediyah, one of the main things is the desire that he has for this thing before it came. He says, Vayancho Vayarivecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, starved us of the mark. Because he wanted us to look forward to the man with bated breath, to feel our total existence depends on the man, as it did. And when we had a bikush and a desire for that man, when we were waiting, ad kalos hanefesh, until we felt we can't continue, waiting and waiting with bated breath, when's it going to come? Where's the Yeshua going to come from? As Chazal say, by night, Chazal tells, but Mori Yumo tells us this, at night, Yidin would go to sleep in the midbar, they had nothing, no stores of food, nothing in the cupboard, nothing to eat. Person says, the Gemara says, somebody who had four or five sons would worry what would be the next day. They looked forward to the man, ad kalos hanefesh mamish, they felt that all their hopes are pinned on the man. So Rabbi Aaron Kotler, after that period of inui and rabbi, day by day, where we were made to suffer by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we were starved for the man, and then we received the man after waiting for it with bated breath, then the effects of the man were maximized. So we lived in a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us openness in its life. The Yad Hashem was there for all to see. Nevertheless, says Rabbi Aaron Kotler, without this prior stage of inui and rabbi, where we're begging and waiting for this Yeshua, without that, the effects of the man would not have been the same. And the lesson of Kiyakol Moitz of Yashem Yichya Adam would not have been the same. So that is really part of the chesed of the man, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this prior stage of inui and rabbi to ensure that the message of the man would remain absolute fact with us in the Dairei Dairus. And Rabbi Aaron continues with this theme. He talks about the pursuit of Yirat Shamayim. And he says the same principle applies. He says, we learn Musar Sfarim. What's the tachlis of learning Musar Sfarim? He says the tachlis is that we should develop the desire to be greater. The Musar Sfarim don't actually make us greater. They give us the will to become greater. Once we have that desire, the inui and the rabbi, that feeling of starvation and suffering, we're not complete, and we need more, we need to come better, become better, we need to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once we have that feeling, then our avodah starts to gather momentum. If we just go in the pursuit of Yirat Shamayim, because it says it in the Sefer, read it, it makes perfect sense, we know we have to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's the approach, but we don't yet feel the need for it, that our lives depend upon it, then the effects of what we learn are minimum. And they'll fade away with time. So when a person learns Moses as of Aaron, the tachlis is to build into themselves that desire to become greater, to become closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become a Yirat Shamayim, and when they created within themselves that bikush and that will, then what they learn will stick with them. Then they will have eternal lessons. They'll grow, they'll climb the ladder, they'll go upwards always and never downwards. We find the same with the Torah, with Talmud Torah. Again, Rabbi Aaron tells us the extent to which a person has desire for learning, the extent to which they feel they must learn, that will determine the power that the Torah has over them and the koyach that they have to learn the Hasmada, to learn Torah as it should be learned. The Maharal says, I don't remember where this is, but I've seen it. The Maharal says one of the Kinyanei HaTorah is Hamakir Es Mekoymo. Person has to know his place. Says the Maharal, what do we mean by this? He says, if a person does not feel chaser, if they don't feel lacking when they approach the Torah, when they begin a period of Talmud Torah, then the Torah won't stick with them. The prior stage is the person has to feel chaser. That's Hamakir Es Mekoymo. You have to look at yourself and recognize, yes, I'm not yet perfect in my knowledge of Torah. We all know this, of course. We open the Gemara every time we open it. We see something new, which we didn't see before. Every time we learn some halachas, we come across something new that we either haven't seen before or don't remember from having learned it the last time. We know it. But that's not the same as Hamakir Es Mekoymo, where a person feels to the depths of their heart that they are chaser, they're lacking. So they're not just going towards Talmud Torah with the interest in learning more, and yes, to come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a feeling of absolute necessity. I am chaser, I am lacking. So this is the prior stage. This precedes really all of our activities in Ruchniyus, building into ourselves the feeling that we are imperfect, that we want to grow. While we don't want to break ourselves with these feelings, it's not, the idea is not that we pull ourselves down, on the contrary. We become aware of our situation, we build in ourselves a thirst and a desire for growth and for improvement, then our activities actually bear fruit. the Chasam Sofer writes very, very interesting kasha, the Chasam Sofer in Pashas Boy brings a kasha from the Shlach HaKadosh. Chazal Dashan on the Pasuk Shmartem Es HaMatzos Artikli Matzos Ela Mitzvos. We know the famous thing, Mitzvah Bol Yodcho Al Tachmitzema. So Chazal Dashan out from here, you have to watch the Matzos, the Shmartem, guard the Matzos. Chazal learned a lesson from here. This refers not just to Matzos but to Mitzvos. Artikli Matzos Ela Mitzvos. You have to guard the Mitzvos, meaning you have an opportunity to do a Mitzvah. Do it straight away. Don't let it go stale. The Azor is in mitzvah. So the Shlach HaKadosh asks, it's a very beautiful drasha, but the Loshon Ushmartem always means waiting. Vavid Shomar Et Hadavar. We find by Yaakov Avinu with Yosef. Vavid Shomar. He waited. Rashi says, Mamtin and Mitzvah. I don't remember exactly the words Rashi uses, but the expression of waiting and hoping and looking forward to. So the Shlach HaKadosh asks, how do we come to learn? It should be a Zoriz in mitzvahs, when in fact, the pasuk seems to be saying the opposite. Wait, wait, with Beis Breit, wait, look forward to the mitzvah, don't jump in. So the Chasam Sofer answers it in his way. Says the Chasam Sofer, we've mentioned it, so we'll say over what the Chasam Sofer says. The Chasam Sofer says that what this means is every mitzvah has its fixed time. Chaviva mitzvah b'shaita. A mitzvah has its fixed time. So what the pasuk is saying is, wait. Don't treat it like a mass or like a burden that you have to get rid of it. You know, Pesach is coming up, so in a manner of speaking, get rid of the mitzvah already, eat the masses, enjoy it, over. You have to wait. Ushmartem is a masses, the mitzvah, you have to wait for the right time, but as soon as the right time comes, then the waiting stops, and you have to go and be mekayem the mitzvah with the Jesus. This is what the Chasam Sofer says. There are two aspects to it. The one is the waiting, it's the chelik of the chavivus ha-mitzvah. I don't want to get rid of it and do the mitzvah already, have it over and done with. I'm waiting for the right time, but when the right time comes, we do it this reason. But according to what we said, I think we can say a very simple explanation to this, a very, very simple explanation on this principle. Ushmartem et ha-mitzvot. You have to, as Chazal say, mitzvah bol yodcha altach mitzeno. When the mitzvah comes, do it this reason. Run to do that mitzvah. How does the person get to the ladrego of doing that mitzvah this reason? Not always easy. Mitzvah comes your way, 5 minutes, I'll do it in 10 minutes time, a minion from now, we'll go later, we'll go to the first minion for whatever it is, a little bit later, there's still time. We always find it's a battle to push ourselves to be Zerizim in mitzvah. So I'm suggesting, according to what we said, that the Ushmartem is the Avoida. When a person is Ushmartem, that he's Mamtin Umitzapeh for a mitzvah. When your Mahalach in life is, there's a mitzvah coming, I'm waiting for it. I cannot wait to eat that matzah. It's 2 weeks till Pesach. I've got itchy feet. I cannot wait to eat the matzah. Or whatever mitzvah it would be, at the time in the morning to put on tefillin, I can't wait for it. I'm on edge. I'm waiting to put on my tefillin. When a person has that prior stage of what we might call inner veravin, that they're starving to do the mitzvah, that they've brought themselves to a madrega where the mitzvah is so important to them that they can't live without it, that Mosfai Yovai has man, cannot wait. Then, when a person has that prior avoida of building into themselves this thirst and this desire for a mitzvah, then they can be zaycha to be a zorit in mitzvah. That's ushmartem et hamatzos, ushmartem et hamitzvos. That with the shimur, with the hamtana, with the waiting, with bated breath for the mitzvah, then a person is zaycha to be actually mekayim the mitzvah b'zrizus, with full ava, with full hislavos. Now we find also, just to, the time is short, just to finish up, we find the expression Tzipisol Yeshua. That a person is asked after 120 years, were you Mitzapeh Yeshua? Were you Mitzapeh for Moshiach to come? And in terms of the Derech HaAvodah, how the year goes, we have Matan Torah, Yitzias Mitzrayim first of all, Matan Torah, Beit HaMikdash, that's the next stage. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, Mokdash Yom HaKippurim, with the Tzibur for the Mishkan. And in a similar fashion, the calendar of the year mirrors this. You've got Pesach, Shavuot, and then the next thing is the 3 weeks, Shavuot and Tammuz, Tisha B'Av, where we mourn for the lack of the Beit HaMikdash. So this is really the next Avodah, the next stage in our Avodah going through the year, the feeling of loss of the Beit HaMikdash, and looking forward to Beit HaMikdash will be rebuilt by Shlishi and Yemot HaMashiach. This is really the next stage in the year. But Aaron writes that his principle that he told us about applies to Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. He tells us when we came out of Mitzrayim, this is the basis of Hakoras HaTov Avor. Avodah, we feel grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim, and this is the basis for our Avodah for all generations. So we could ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into Mitzrayim. If we were put into prison by somebody for a fixed term and then allowed out, we wouldn't feel that we owe that person such HaKadosh HaTov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put us into Mitzrayim for a fixed amount of time and then let us out of Mitzrayim. So why is that a basis for HaKadosh HaTov and subsequent Avodah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So he says, it's the same principle. If all those nisim and the miracles, everything had been done to another nation, we hadn't been there, we're just standing on the sidelines, we would have seen the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the effect would not have been the same. We had to be in Mitzrayim and to suffer again this inui and ravoi, this desire to be let out of Mitzrayim, to be released from the suffering, once the prior stage of waiting and begging and the tefillah and so on, waiting with bated breath, then when we saw the nisim and the glories of Mitzrayim, then we could see, we could feel the full effect of it, it lasts for a lifetime. We had to go through the suffering ourselves. It was a chesed Hashem that we and no other nation went through, because by suffering it ourselves and then begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu nitzak el Hashem l'chiyaveseinu, then we're zoiche to really feel the messages of Mitzrayim, they last us for a lifetime. So this is why it's a mechayiv in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that binds us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of our lives. But coming forward to Moshiach, we find precisely the same thing. When Moshiach will come, there will be those who will appreciate the Mimoit HaMoshiach and others who will not. The Master Rosh Hashiva once said that a person, we have to daven our eyes should see Moshiach. What does that mean? The Master Rosh Yeshiva once said, I think it was at Ne'ilah and the Master Yeshiva, he said, people will be there, not every eye will see it. Not everybody will be zoicha to really see and appreciate. You could be there physically, but your cup won't really be there. And I'm suggesting here, we ask, see peace on Yeshua. Did one look forward to Yeshua? When we approaching now the next shlav, the next stage of our avodah, when we look towards the 3 weeks that it's now the avodah, approaching the avodah of feeling the Korban Beit HaMikdash, we have some time on our hands now before we come to those weeks to be mitzapeli sure that when we say in Tefillah and Shemayin Esav Yerushalayim Ircho Es Tzanach Dovid, we've just stopped to pause and to think a little bit how it must have been, how it will be in the future, how much we're lacking. And when we then come to those days when we suffer really for the loss of the Beit HaMikdash, we'll be prepared in advance with this feeling of Rabboin and Inur, this feeling of hunger that should be within us for Moshiach to come, for Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt, and if we can be zeicha to build in some feelings of desire and need for those special days that should come b'mheir of Yomeinu, then we'll be zeicha meitz Hashem to do the avodah properly as we come to it, and to really feel the lack of Beit HaMikdash and to daven from a full heart for the rebuilding of Beit HaMikdash and the Yomeinu HaMashiach b'mheir of Yomeinu.
Thank you. Thank you for the beginning. Thank you.